We're going to have a look. We're not going to get into the details of this because somebody was charged in relation to the stabbing incident in Stony Bother. So we're not going to pass any comment on the personalities and the incident itself. But as a matter of public safety, Louise, it was debated in the Dáil this afternoon. So what were raised about this and another incident in Ballymun?
Yeah, and it was Gary himself who actually brought this up with Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan in the first instance. And Gary was referencing comments made by Minister O'Callaghan on Morning Ireland yesterday, in which he was asked, was Dublin safe? This kind of infamous question that Helen McEntee was asked. The night of the riots. And she kind of said that Dublin was safe. And we've heard, I guess, kind of a different rhetoric from Jim O'Callaghan, who said yesterday, there's some parts of Dublin that are unsafe at some times, which is definitely a change from what we have heard. And what Gary, I think, was asking is, you know, well, what are we going to do to make Dublin safe all the time? And I thought Jim O'Callaghan's answer was interesting because he was saying that nobody would have thought that Stony Bother on a Saturday afternoon, just as Ireland were about to take on Scotland in the rugby, would have been an unsafe place. And it raises broader questions, I guess, about can incidents happen anywhere at any time? Is it just luck? And how do we prevent incidents like we have seen, not just this weekend, but over the last couple of months and over the last number of years, where there have been very serious incidents all across the city, north side and south side? How do we make Dublin that bit safer? And how do we make someone feel that bit safer, even if a community is perceived to be so-called safe?
All right. Gary Gannon, I mean, you know, I'm sure you would have been at pains over the years to communicate to people that there's a lot more going on in your own constituency than just some of the things that make the headlines. So, I mean, the safety of the streets, they're not unsafe all of the time, are they?
No, that's not what anybody would be suggesting. And I was actually disappointed with the Minister's response today because I actually very purposely chose not to frame the question in the context of what happened in Stony Bother on Sunday. And when he came back and said nobody would have thought what happened, what would have been unexpected. I mean, I have literally had topical issues in the Dáil in the last 3 months on safety in Dublin 7, specifically for the very issue that's coming up constantly around kind of Stony Bother's issue of people not feeling safe. And look, there's a plethora of reasons why that is the case. I mean, some of them are very complex. But the idea that you can just pull that instance and use that, say this happened out of the blue, and of course that incident could never be legislated for. It was tragic in every way in the Guards.
No, but what you were saying on Morning Ireland the other morning was you're a member of a load of WhatsApp groups. There was an incident. People possibly felt it triggered earlier memories of other incidents and the WhatsApp groups lit up and there is a sense of insecurity that went into high alert.
This is exactly it though. I mean, what we're asking for around the city centre and city centre communities north and south, we're asking for a style of policing that is, and this is not an attack on the police, I think they do an incredible job, it's attacking the resources you have to do it, is it's more of an interventionist approach. It's actually kind of having an audit of what actually makes the city unsafe at particular times. And that requires a policing solution, of course it does. It requires kind of crisis interventions in terms of providing mental health supports for many of the services that are located all across kind of the city centre, north and south. It understands the like dereliction creates an environment that's unsafe. City be actually be looking dirty, lights being broken. All of these things create a scenario where the city is unsafe. And if you don't actually deal with them tangibly, that remains that way. So, I mean, I was at public meetings literally in the last 2-3 months in Stony Bother where people stood up and said, we feel somebody is going to be attacked. Mm. And then there wasn't the level of kind of stay response to that concern that's happening all across those city centre communities. So, I mean, there is a style of policing that's kind of, it's community orientated, it's ever present, it's vigilant, it's, you have a constant guards, the guards are interacting with the services, there is cross kind of communication between the different kind of support groups that are there, so you can recognise various threats that may emerge and intercede before the type of scenario that happened on Sunday occurs again. And look, I can't step away from the fact there are things that are happening all too frequently now. I mean, obviously there was a situation on Parnell Street that was devastating in November 2023. There's been other instances of violence all across kind of the city centre communities. We do need a different type of response. The guards were incredible on Sunday.
Sean Kine, this happens to be, you know, a discussion that's been triggered by an incident in the city, but I suppose not so much incidents as people's sense of insecurity. Like people see what was a historically open Garda station somewhere in rural Ireland. It's shuttered. It's now no longer in use. that's enough to make people in some instances feel insecure, which is exacerbated if there is a burglary or an incident of antisocial behaviour. What Gary Gannon is talking about there is reassurance and the deployment of resources where they're visible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, policing visibility is hugely important, and we've seen record investment in the Garda Síochána. We've seen an increase in the Garda numbers, but we need to increase that more. We hope to get over the 15,000. Since, you know, Templemore closed during COVID, it didn't help, certainly, but we've seen increases in numbers since then. We've seen changes in relation to the retirement age, the age of entry, which hopefully will assist and indeed has assisted in terms of entries into Templemore. Obviously, the attack in you know, Stony Batter, you know, unprecedented, but it can happen from time to time. And unfortunately, the Gardaí cannot be every place, whether it be rural Ireland or urban Ireland. There's more chance in urban Ireland of a rapid response in some certain cases, and, you know, commend the Gardaí for their work on that day. You know, they're to be commended. Gary has mentioned some of the issues, you know, whether it be broken lights, which you have, you know, those are local authority matters that need to be, you know, that there needs to be adequate investment to ensure that there is that safety that results from having places lit up, having places bright, having dereliction dealt with, all that sort of feeling that you know, right. Having a community that has lived in, that is vibrant, all assists in terms of the safety element, if you like, of community. In relation to rural Ireland, I mean, yes, there was a number of small Garda stations closed. None of them were ever open 24/7. They were never opened. Some of them might be open a couple of hours.
It's in the absence of those, and that being the bit that people see. How is assurance provided to people as an alternative?
Garda and patrol, visible Garda cars, seeing them at events, all that sort of thing.
We know what the issues are. I live in Dublin 15, and part of my constituency is Dublin 7 as well. A massively grown population in the last 30 years. And we have one Garda station. And I'll just give you an example. Limerick has three Garda stations and three times the amount of guards for exactly the same population, the entirety of Limerick. So when we talk about resources and Garda resources, they haven't kept a pace, particularly in Dublin 15 and Dublin 7, with the growth in population, and it's still growing. And Dublin 15, again, we have a very, very young and very diverse population, and people don't feel safe. They genuinely don't feel safe. And I think it's, again, what Gary talked about.
So what is that?
I think it's the multiple...
Gary Gannon was talking about, you know,
there's a lot of issues. There are mental health issues. There are a lack of policing. There's a lack of resources that's going into here. At times, there is one Garda station for Dublin 15, or one Garda car for Dublin 15. At one stage in Finglas, there were four drug squad cars, members of the drug squad. All of the cars were out of action, so they had zero cars available to them. So we're talking about resources. We're talking about community involvement. Like, we had the JPCs and we had community safety forums. We haven't seen them in over 2 years because there was new legislation brought in. They haven't been reenacted. They're the type of actions that we need to take in place. Right. So it's Garda resources, it's the involvement of the community, it's the involvement of the local authorities, the involvement of mental health services. All of those come together to create the perception and create safer communities.
Okay, you mentioned there that, you know, Dublin 15 particularly is a growing and diverse area, and your colleague Mark Carty was talking about on the programme for government. He was... making a statement on that. He said, you know, there's questions have arisen. He's your party's justice spokesperson, have arisen after a spate of recent violence, including whether or not bail laws are adequate. And he went on to say, why are those from other states who are involved in serious crime not being deported, he asked, as, quote, such moves would be in the common good and would be welcomed by the vast majority of people who have made Ireland their home. I mean, in a diverse area like yours, could you see why that comment might be a concern?
I think there's two issues, and I raised an issue earlier on of a constituent of mine just this week whose home was broken into. The person had over 100 convictions. They were in court when the Gardaí rearrested them after being released on bail from a previous incident. They arrested them for the incident of breaking into a house with a hatchet and threatening people, and then was brought back into court, rearraigned, and re-released on bail again. Like, that's what people hear. That's what people are concerned about. On the issue you talked about, if a person who's not from this state is engaged in criminal, antisocial behaviour and violent attacks, should they be deported? I think that's common sense to me. If you, you get convicted, and if they are convicted of an offence, they serve the time and then they report. I don't see an issue with that.
Sure. It's just, I suppose, you know, when those... is it such a salient issue, or is it out of proportion to the level of concern that's there?
Look, I think everyone, we all raise issues. Sometimes they are very big issues and sometimes they are not. Is it a big issue? I think it's maybe that a little bit more research needs to be done. But I think that if for every individual who commits a crime, then we have to look at each one of those circumstances and say, right, what's the threat to the public? What is it that this person is engaged in? And if that person is not from the state, right, and they have been convicted and all of that, then yes, absolutely, they should be.
Important to recognise that everybody, regardless of where they're from, does also have an entitlement to due absolutely process. Yeah. So, I mean, Sinn Féin, I think you've raised that today, it was very purposefully done in terms of Deputy McCarthy's contribution. Sinn Féin have private members' motions that they can bring forward every week. I'd like to see the legislation that you're talking about in terms of how this will be enacted. I'd like to see it scrutinised by bodies like the ICL. I mean, if you want to have that conversation, I think put the chest out, let's do it.
It's
like fully.
There, the legislation's no, already in place for a person who's convicted.
But you raised it today in a context that it wasn't. I mean, if you have a piece of legislation, if you want to have that debate, let's see it.
I think whether it's actually happening, because there are people who are on deportation orders for years and who were not deported from the country.
Sean Coyne.
That's law.
I think we've seen positive moves since the riots in 2023 in relation to the body cam legislation, for example, and that's now out and running in parts of Dublin and other areas. The Dublin Metropolitan Control Centre in Houston, which is sort of an overseeing role, you know, the changes, as I said, to encourage more Garda recruitment and the increase in Garda vehicles, notwithstanding Paul's points in relation to their allocation to different parts of the country, which presumably is as Garda resources are, it's a matter for the Garda Commissioner. All we can do is try and provide the resources, provide the staffing, and then they have to be allocated to certain areas. And those areas where there is most of threat, in my view, should get the allocation, the resources to act as a deterrent as well. And obviously to monitor these things, there is a concern.
Right. Do you think there should be a data-based approach then, so that, you know, if people are raising concerns about, you know, crime in rural Ireland, that a hard conversation would have to be had and say, look, resources are deployed where they're proportionate. They can't be deployed in response to political demands.
Look, there's always political demands. I mean, every community would want to see their Garda resources increased in general. And where there is a risk in higher population areas, then there's obviously a recognisable demand for additional resources.
That's our lot for this evening.